Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Danny's Diary, the podcast powered by Singing News Magazine. Our guest today, Mike Lefevre of the Lefevre Quartet. Mike, thanks for dropping by.
Glad to be here, Danny. As always, it's a pleasure to see you.
Well, and you know, that's saying a lot considering that we only live about 25 miles from each other, yep. And we have the opportunity to see way too much of each other. But anyway, we're going to bring all of that fun and hilarity to these listeners today because Mike is going to tell us everything he knows about Southern gospel music, and it's going to take 1 minute. Go.
Danny Jones, that's all you need to know in gospel music. As long as you know Danny Jones, you've got it licked. I'm telling you.
That's the best answer we've ever had on podcast. Anyway, hey, Mike is a very well-known personality in the world of Southern gospel music. And let's go to a question that is usually right at the top of the list for many people who are meeting Mike Lefevre for the very first time. Mike, what is your connection to Eva Mae Lefevre?
Well, a lot of people will remember the original Lefevre trio, which was Alphys Lefevre, Urice Lefevre, and Eva Mae. Urice and Alphys were my dad's older brothers, so I'm a nephew. Of course, Urice married Eva Mae, so I'm a nephew to all of them. Pierce and Mylon are my cousins, and so that's how I fit into the family.
Right. Mylon wrote a little song called Without Him. It's gotten some notoriety. But things are going well for Mike Lefevre these days. Got a great group on the road. Jeremy Peace, your son Jordan, and Keith Plott make up the Lefevre Quartet with yourself. So at a 30,000-foot view, what is going on with the Lefevre Quartet right now?
Well, that's a good 30,000-foot view. Well, we're wide open in one direction. I can honestly say this, I would say most groups are this way. You start out with the goal of being the best you can be, and we do. I think God deserves the best, and we try to improve what we do every time we do it. We work hard. We pray together. We study together, and we watch ourselves. We critique what we do, and we try to be focused on the Holy Spirit being involved in everything that we say and do on stage. And so I'd like to say, with all that encompassing, we're focused in one direction. That's glorify Christ and be the best that we can be for gospel music.
Well, one thing you said there that I can personally attest to, because we've done several dates together, and a lot of times I'm on your bus for whatever reason. I have seen the Lefevre Quartet when the bus is parked at a venue, rolls around about 2 o'clock in the afternoon or something like that. Everybody's finished setting up. They're back on the bus. Mike will call everybody to the front, pull out the Bible, and they'll have Bible study. And it's not for show. It's legitimate Bible study. You know, go around the room and ask questions type thing. And it's such a important part that the people who feed you are fed as well. And that's what you do when a gospel group goes on stage. They are feeding the people who come into the venues. You know, they're giving them the word through song. But you're not able to do that unless you're fed yourself.
Right. And that's the whole thing here. And one of the main reasons that we started doing this was because I realized a void in my life. I needed it. Because we're not home on Sundays to go to church. You know, there are occasions where we'll be in a service where we'll hear some great preaching. But the majority of the time we go in to do the feeding, I guess is the way you put it. And so I realized this void in my life, and I needed it. And I started reading books and doing some studying. And then I started sharing with the guys. They'd be sitting there, and I started sharing with them, hey, I read this. What do y'all think about this? And it just kind of evolved into when we find scripture or we do something that's interesting, we start sharing about it, and we get everybody's input. And it's amazing to see when you read one phrase or scripture in God's Word, how different people hear it different ways. Mm-hmm. And so it's been fulfilling, and it's been a good growing process, and it's brought us closer together. I like that. I like for our group goes. We do Bible study. We go eat together. We all wait for everybody to get up, and we go sit down at the table. We feed together. So we try to do everything together. We're a close group.
It is truly a team effort from the moment the bus rolls out. Till the bus comes back in, and you keep in touch with the guys throughout the week too. I mean, you're not just a deliverer of a paycheck. You're actually heavily invested into the lives of the guys who travel on the bus with you. You're very interested in what their families are going through, what they're going through personally as an individual. You're not only a manager, baritone singer, and a bus owner. You're someone who is taking the time to invest in the young people who want to be a part of Southern gospel music.
Well, and not only that, I feel like, you know, they care about me. They care about this group, and they've invested they're investing their lives and the time that they could be with their families into this ministry. And so I need to be invested into their lives too. Of course, I do give them a break.
You know, right? It's not 24/7.
Yeah, everybody needs a break from Mike.
There's a T-shirt right there. There's a T-shirt. Everybody needs a break from Mike. Okay.
But you know, I do. I mean, they're my friends, and I love them, and I care about what they're going through. And one of the guys, his wife right now, he's got four kids. His wife's in nursing school, and you know, and it's hard. It's hard to manage all that stuff. So I do call him and say, "Are you doing okay? How's Jennifer doing at, you know, at school?" I just think that's the way it ought to be.
You're listening to Danny's Diary, a podcast powered by Singing News Magazine. If you are not a subscriber to Singing News Magazine, let me just tell you, you are missing out on knowing everything that's going on in the world of Southern gospel music, and we can fix that problem for you. Here's what you do. Pick up your telephone, dial 800-527-5226, or visit singingnews.com, and you too can receive Singing News Magazine in your mailbox every month. Our guest today, Mike Lefevre of the Lefevre Quartet. Many people were first introduced to Mike Lefevre with a group by the name of Gold City. But that was far from your first venture into professional Southern gospel music. Let's go back to pre-Gold City days. Let's talk about a group called the Singing Americans.
Well, if you want to go even further back.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
It's my podcast. Oh, okay. We'll get there. Okay.
I thought you thought that was the beginning, Danny.
No, it was not. I know. I'm working one step at a time here.
Okay. Well, Singing Americans came about. I was friends with Gary Corsi, which was the bass player at the time back in the 80s. And we'd gone to high school together, and they were at the Georgia Mountain Center, Gainesville, Georgia. Ed Hill had been in a bad bus accident, and they needed somebody to fill in. And at that time, it was Danny Funderburk, Clayton Inman, and Dwayne Burke, and a couple other guys. And they asked me if I'd fill in, so I started filling in, and a few weeks turned into a year or more, and. So that was the early 80s.
Right. All right. Let's go back a little bit before that. Right before the Singing Americans, you were doing?
I don't know. What was I doing?
It's always a pleasure to have a senior citizen on the podcast. But you know, you sang with Uncle Al.
Yeah. Back in when I had to about 15 years old, my uncle had retired from the original Lefevres, and he started a group of young people. And I was included in that group. And at the age of 16, started working with Uncle Alf. We went full time. And, you know, that was back when, you know, 15 years old and 16, you're getting ready to go full time, buddy. That's a big deal. My paycheck, and this is no exaggeration, my paycheck was $25 a week.
Wow.
Full time. And we were just kids. We had such a good time, and we had some good talent came through that group over that period of time. Karen Peck Gooch was a part of that group at one time, and Todd Nealon even came through there, mm-hmm. and some others. But it was a good learning. I learned a lot from Uncle Alf Lefevre, and I'm indebted to him for helping me get my start.
And, of course, you grew up listening to the records of the Lefevres.
Yes.
And what was that like, knowing that you had such well, we'll just use the word, such a famous family. And you've always had a keen interest in Southern gospel music, and you've always wanted to do it. What was that like watching your family be the stars of gospel music that they were?
Well, and now keep in mind, it's changed a lot since then. But back when I was a kid, you know, they had in Atlanta, they had their own television show on Channel 5. And at that time, there were three channels, 2, mm-hmm. 5, and 11. So on Sunday morning, it'd be the Jubilee, and I think they called it the Caravan. And they were, at that time, they were, like nowadays, the country artists are sponsored by Martha Whiteflower. Back then, the Lefevers were sponsored by Martha Whiteflower. They had that on the side of their bus. And so, you know, it, for me, you know, they were stars. They were stars. But, I remember when I was a kid, we'd go over to eat dinner at Uncle Uriah's and Eva Mae's house or Uncle Alf's house, and I couldn't hardly say anything because I just thought I was in royalty, you know. Mm-hmm. but they were family, so it was an interesting place to be in, and my dream was to be able to sing with the Lefevers. That was all I wanted to do.
Did you ever have the opportunity to do that?
Never did. Of course, I did get to sing with Uncle Alf, getting my start. But the originals, I never got to sing with them. But passion that was instilled in me in those early days has carried on now into the later years here.
Well, you're really not that old. How old are you?
I am. In September, I'll be 58.
Yeah, see, that's not old. Nobody in this room went, oh, or ancients or anything like that. You know, 58, I mean, you're still young. You'll be in Southern gospel music for a long time.
I think I'm a young 58.
Yes, you are. you are a young 58. But there was one thing you said during that I locked onto. The Lefevers had their own TV show, and here you are several years later. There's another Lefevre with a TV show, Gospel Music USA, that you're a co-host with, airs and is based in Atlanta
right.
And is going, you know, in other places through different outlets and everything. That's Gospel Music USA. That's something that you get to do with Karen Peck of Karen Peck and New River. And then, of course, I get the co-host on there with you, and that's always a challenge. And it manages to do incredible things for my blood pressure. But you know, technology has changed so much for Southern gospel music. You know, we've got the staples. We've got radio. That's a great thing. We've got TV. That's a great thing. But now you've got things like social media. You've got things like podcast. Where do you see all the advances in technology taking gospel music?
Well, with the advances of technology has also come a broader spectrum of other things as well. So this is my opinion, you really have to be a hunting gospel music to find it nowadays in such a market of social media and all these things that are going on. You know, for me, it's easy to find because I love it and I focus in on it. But they're just like I said earlier, you know, if you're switching the channels back in the 50s, 60s, and you 2, 5, and 11, and there was gospel singing on, you only had two other choices. Now
right.
You've got 5,000 choices.
Right.
So I think gospel music is not dying at all. I think that it's better, probably as good or better quality-wise than it's ever been. I just hope with all of the outlets that we do have. And that's why I'm so adamant about the TV show that you and I and Karen share together. I love to see it grow because we're growing into other markets and we're reaching different people or new people, hopefully. And they can see the quality of gospel music that's out there now. And that's why I love these podcasts and all the things that are going on. I think we need to take every opportunity to reach as many folks as we can. We need it.
Well, take a deep breath because I'm going to ask you a very serious question here. With your experience in Southern gospel music, you came along at a time when the crowds were massive, the Jubilee was at its peak, during your days with Gold City, you know, just incredible stuff going on for that group. Record sales were phenomenal. Yet today, when you're standing on a stage and you look out across the crowd, you don't see that the average age of the attendee has changed that much from back, say, in the 80s. What is it about gospel music that keeps the audiences reinventing themselves?
I will say this. I think that the reason, so to speak, that the people look the same is because eventually people get to a place in their life where they realize that there is a need in their life, and they still want to be entertained. They still want to be uplifted. And the people, I'll just say this, my cousin Mylon, for instance, he did Christian rock back in the 80s. Well, I have a lot of people come to see me now that said, hey, I used to go see Mylon when I was in. So they've made that transition from Christian rock music to now they're coming to hear Southern gospel music. I can't explain the transition, but once again, I think that quality and persistence is prevailing. So I think that that's why I say, you know, there's always going to be seniors. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always going to be seniors, and there's always going to be people my age or over 50. But there are also a lot of younger people that love gospel. And I've got two people in my group right now, 128 and 135. You know, that's young.
Right.
That love. And there's other groups in the industry starting up, young people that love this music. And so I don't see an end to it, but they're going to be gray-headed one day.
Exactly.
And I know one day I'm going to be going out there, and I'm going to be that gray-haired guy sitting out there listening to singing because I loved it.
Well, you and I were talking at a concert a few months ago. Even though the average age of a concert attendee is 50-plus, we've noticed that in certain pockets of the country, that average is actually going down a little bit. We've seen a little more dark hair in the audience than we've seen in recent years. So, you know, that's such an encouraging sign. As we were talking about your history, there was one group we left out, and that was Brian Free and Assurance. You sang with Brian for a while after the Gold City days, and Brian launched that group. But what many people don't remember, you sang with Brian before Brian Free and Assurance. You sang with Brian before Gold City. Now, you've got to tell that little story right there.
Funny thing about that. We were this was after after I had sung with Uncle Al for a while. I wasn't singing at the time, and I called somebody had told me about Brian Free, and so I called Brian, and we decided we were going to put a group together. So we got together several guys and a band, and you know, you had to have a band back then. Mm-hmm. You couldn't just go out do tracks. And so we practiced, every time we could get together for 6 solid months, and we finally got a date to go out and sing. We were so excited. We went out and did that date, and it went just, I mean, it was tremendous. We had a great night. We were so excited. And the next day, I think it might have been the next day, Gold City called Brian and he was gone. So we did one date.
Well, yeah, but you made that one date count.
We did. That one date counted. So.
Our guest today is Mike Lefevre of the Lefevre Quartet. You are listening to Danny's Diary, a podcast powered by Singing News Magazine. Mike, I'm going to throw out a few names to you right now, and I want your first reaction to these names. Here we go. Ivan Parker.
Amazing, classy, an icon in gospel music. Man, that's a pretty good description, wouldn't you say?
Well, he will like it.
Yeah.
He will definitely like it.
Now, if he was sitting here, I'd probably say a nut. But
well, you'll have that opportunity because you know that we do have a podcast schedule where it is you and Ivan, the battle of the ages right there. We'll talk about
I'm
that.
I'm looking
a little
forward
bit.
To that.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah. All right, here's another name. And this gentleman recently passed on, but he was a big supporter of your group, Jerry Goff.
Yeah. Once again, class, I mean, class. And encourager would be a great word for Jerry. You know, what was amazing to me is, as well known as Jerry was, and the as much as he had to do, as iconic as he is and was in gospel music, that he would take the time to come to a concert and hear the Lefevre Quartet or other groups. You know, it wasn't just us that he went to hear. And he would actually spend time and hang out. And he would come up and hey, let's do it. I'd call him up and we'd do a song together. And we'd learn a song on stage. And he had a way of making the crowd just absolutely fall right into his hand. Amazing person. I'm thankful that God gave me the opportunity to get to know him on a different level than other than just Dr. Golf.
Mm-hmm. Karen Peck Gooch.
Another amazing person, probably one of the finest gospel singers to ever step onto a stage gospel. I see her as a true blue person, and there's nothing I could ever say negative. And I don't know of anybody that could say anything negative about Karen Peck.
I believe you're right.
She is just
a genuine person.
A genuine person, right. I mean.
We've talked about the groups that you've been with. We've talked about some things in gospel music. Let's talk about your new favorite role, Grandpa.
Now, that is a whole new thing. I told this on stage the other night, but Jordan had to run an errand, and he called me to come over and sit with the boys because Allie, his wife, was at work. And I sat down on the sofa, and here come Jace, the three-year-old. And Jace is he's my buddy. I love that little boy. I love them all, but this one came. He was my first grandchild, so here he comes holding his Mickey Mouse and his blanket, and he starts crawling up in my lap, and he got about eye level with me, Danny, and he looked at me and said, "I'm Pawpaw's boy." And I said, "You can have my truck."
Yep.
Just like that. I needed a new truck, you know.
Yep.
But it's just changed my world. You know, I know when I leave here today, I've already told Jordan when I get home to Atlanta tomorrow, I said, you know, I got to see them boys tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just, it's become a way of life for me. I love it. Love them boys.
And, of course, you and your wife, Kathy, have been married for how long?
This year will be 32.
32 years.
32 years. She
incredible.
Is. And if you were to have mentioned her name again a while ago about people who I would say amazing and incredible. And what a, you know, She's a part of gospel music that will never, you know, be on a front page of a magazine, or she'll never be written up anywhere in anything. But you talk about a supporter and a godly woman and somebody that made sure that I was taken care of and need, you know, and fulfilled the helped me fulfill the calling to be out here and sing gospel music. My wife.
You know, if you look up the phrase quartet wife in the dictionary, it's her picture that's there.
She's one of them, yes. I'm sure there are several others, but my wife is definitely one of them.
Of course, you have your son, Jordan. He sings lead for the group and takes care of the bus and all those behind-the-scenes type things.
Sound,
He's growing up to be a – well, we shouldn't say he's growing up. He's, you know, he's already grown, but he's such an important part of the Lefevre Quartet operation, you know, more than just singing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Honestly, if he said, "Dad, I'm quitting tomorrow," we'd have to shut down because he handles so much stuff. You know, all the sound equipment, the making sure everything's fixed, the bus, I mean, it's amazing. And the driving, he does a good portion of the driving, mm-hmm. which is you know, something that I used to, I could stay up all night. Now it's 11 o'clock. I'm about wiped out, you know? So he handles a lot of that. And so there's, he's so valuable to this group. It's just, I couldn't do it without him.
Right. And of course you and Kathy have one other child and your daughter, Keely.
Keely. Right. She's a beautiful young lady, married and lives in, we have a grandson. He's 2 years old. So I've got a 9, 3, 2, 1. So, but she's got the 2-year-old, and they live over in Charleston, South Carolina. She's a sweetheart too.
So you're just a grandpa, baritone singer, quartet manager, a little bit of everything. But there's one other thing, another side of Mike Lefevre that many people don't know about. You've spent some time working for the fire department.
I did. There was a point in my life after I come off the road with Brian Free Insurance. I felt like, and I, in fact, I'm not going to say I felt like, I know I needed to get home and get into church. You know, I came home and I went to work at a Hall County Fire in Gainesville, Georgia, and in 1999. And I took a few years off to get to know the Lord. I mean, that's just, I mean, that just right down to the truth of it. Mm-hmm. I needed something. My wife and I needed this together. My family needed this. And so I spent a lot of time. I enjoyed the fire department. It's one that, besides gospel singing, the greatest job I've ever had. It's fun to turn on the lights and drive fast.
Wow. Now the truth comes out.
I had to go there, didn't I? No, with due regard, of course, folks. But it was a great, a rewarding. And to this day, you know, I still maintain my fire certifications and my EMT certifications because I worked for it. Mm-hmm. And I just don't want to let it go, you know. Not that I'll ever need it, but it's good to know CPR.
Yeah. There may be the quote of the day right there. Our engineer, Troy Peach, just looked around and said, I'm writing that down. I'm adding that myself. Hey, our guest today has been Mike Lefevre of the Lefevre Quartet. Mike, before you go, how do people find the Lefevre Quartet on social media?
Well, you can go to, of course, we have a website, thelefevrequartet.com, and Facebook, The Lefevre Quartet. I think we've got Instagram and Doodlegram and all that stuff. I'm not as familiar with all that stuff because that's one of those things I don't handle. But we do have them.
There you go. Just Google Lefevre Quartet and you will find out everything you need to know. Thanks for hanging around with us today, Mike. Glad you have been here with us. And I guess we'll see you over in town before too long, won't we?
It's been a pleasure, Danny. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, everyone, for tuning in to another podcast powered by Singing News Magazine, Danny's Diary. A new episode will be ready soon, so be watching for it.